Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wednesday Midweek Bible Study. Today is March the 9th. Can you believe it? It seems like it should be January, and it's March already. What an amazing Father we have. He has allowed us to come into 2022, January, February, and March. We're headed towards April. Oh, we're so grateful. We're so grateful that the Most High God connected us and that He is everlasting, the everlasting Father. He won't disconnect from us. Nope. People disconnect from us, but not our God. He's a mighty God, a holy God, a righteous God. He is the King of Kings, the Almighty Father. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Oh, no, He won't leave you. Oh, yeah, you feel alone? God is right there. He's right there to give you the balm in Gilead for your healing, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional healing, in every way. He's here for us. He won't leave us. He's not human. No, God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. So today we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Almighty, because you are Almighty. Nothing is impossible to you. You are the mighty I Am. You are Jehovah Elohim, a powerful God. There's nothing that you can't do. Nothing is impossible to you. You're the Almighty Father. You're Yahweh, Abba Father. You are in heaven, and you live in us. You are omnipresent. You're here, there, everywhere at the same time. You're all in Russia. You're in Ukraine. You're in every nation. Every tongue speak your language. You know their language. In the name of Jesus, you created languages for people. But Father, sometimes we as human beings, we get our languages crossed up with each other. We get our signals mixed up. But Lord, you are clear. You are always clear. We don't get our signals mixed up with you, oh God. You know who we are. You know all about us. There's nothing you don't know. Ooh, you're so amazing. You said you know our thoughts afar off. Now, we don't know other people's thoughts afar off, but you do. What an amazing friend you are. You are that friend that we need. You are Jehovah Jireh, the one that provides life and godliness for us. The one that's so amazing, the one that nothing is impossible to. We just thank you today that you are our banner, Jehovah Nisi. Oh, yeah, but we need peace, and we need peace in Russia, peace in Ukraine, peace in America, peace in China, peace in every nation in the world. All seven continents need peace right about now, Lord God. So we thank you that you are Jehovah Shalom, a peacemaker. Put peace between the leaders of every nation, oh God. Let them not think that they're right, but let them know that you're right. Your word is true. In the name of Jesus, you are not human. You don't lie. You are truth. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are a righteous God, Jehovah Tsidkenu. You are righteous, and you are our shepherd. In the name of Jesus, you're the shepherd that we need. Oh, yeah, we can depend upon you. Oh, my God, when we get off the path, your rod is going to get us back on the path. Your rod and your staff comforts us every day of our lives. Your rod and your staff comforts us daily, not just sometimes. You're a constant, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, my God, we can count on you. Well, we can't count on one another. We can count on you. You're a dependable God. You're a trustworthy God. You're honest and upright. So we thank you today for what you're doing in all of us. We thank you for what you've already done. Oh, we thank you for ordering our steps in the name. Thank you. We need his anointing. We need his, our steps ordered by the Lord. You know, when we step, if we don't step with our steps ordered by him, we're going to step in the wrong place. We may step on the coronavirus. We may step on a landmine. We may step in a sinkhole or in a ditch. But when God orders our steps, we're going to step in the right place. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord says, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. So we're giving him praise and thanksgiving today. We're thanking him that he orders our steps on a daily basis in the name of Jesus. Every day he orders our steps because we don't know the way to go. He is a way maker. Don't you remember that song, Way Maker? Oh, it's a beautiful song. Well, today, God has made a way for me where there was seemingly no way. And guess what? He's no respecter of persons. He's done the same thing for you. We thank God for Minister Lanny today. She's on with us from Jackson, Mississippi. She's going to play a song of praise. We thank God for her. We thank God for you. Yes, you, you, and you, and you, and you, and you. We thank God for all of you all being on with us. Good afternoon, Sister Lanny. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Sister G, and all my sisters and brothers in Christ. I don't possess houses or land, fine clothes of jewelry. Sorrows and cares in this whole world, my lot seems to be. But I have a price all in my life. This makes me happy. And Christ is all in all this world to me. There are some folks who look and long for this world return. There are some folks who look for power and a position too. Yeah. But I have a price. Who pays the price? Way back on Calvary. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. My Christ is all in all this world to be. Oh, Christ is all. He's everything, everything to me. Christ is all. Yes, he rules the land and sea. Christ is all. Oh, Lord. Oh, without him, nothing, nothing to be. For Christ is all. All in all, my Christ is all in all, Christ is all, yeah, all in all, this world of peace, all, everything. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. He is all that we need. Yes, he is. He's all that we need. Everything is depending on him. He is our very breath. He's our life. Without him, we cannot exist. Oh, no. We thank God for life. Thank you so much, Sister Lenny, for that beautiful song of praise unto God. We are so appreciative of you.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today for our families. Families all over the world. Asia, Antarctica, Australia, Africa, North America, South America, and Europe. You know everyone. You make their fingerprints, their voice. You know every person in every continent. So we are grateful to you, O God, that we can call on your mighty name, your holy name. You're always available to us. You're always here. You never leave us. Even when we don't feel your presence, that doesn't mean that you're not there, because you won't leave us. You won't forsake us. We appreciate you. We are so grateful that we can call on your mighty name, your holy name, and you are awesome. Oh, Lord, we thank you for being so faithful to us. Even when we're not faithful to you, you're faithful to us. So we appreciate you, Lord. I lift up everyone on the radio today on Wednesday, midweek Bible study, those who are on, those who are coming on. We pray, Lord God, for excellent health, strength in our body. We thank you, Lord God, for everything that you're doing, everything you're going to do in us, oh God. Oh, Lord, we are here, Lord God, to hear your word, to hear your voice. Oh, God, we're here listening to your word today, Lord God. We want to hear your word in the name of Jesus. We love your voice. Your voice is majestic. Oh, my God, you're clothed in majesty. There's nobody beautiful like you. You are holy. You are gorgeous. You are beautiful. All the words that describe beauty belong to you, oh God. Oh, yes, you are beautiful inside out. You're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Your robe is beautiful. You are beautiful, Lord God. And we just say thank you, Jesus, for everything you're doing on our behalf. We appreciate you. We bless you today. We give you glory, praise, and thanksgiving in the mighty name of Jesus. We are thankful that we can say, Abba, Father. We are thankful that we can say, which art in heaven. And we are thankful that we can say that you live on the inside of us in the name of Jesus. So, Father, today we thank you for fathers and mothers. We thank you for parents, sisters, and brothers. Grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, families all over the world. We need you. Lord, even those people who have denied you need you, they don't know it. They're ignorant. They just don't know it. Forgive us, even when we're ignorant. We don't know everything about you. We know that you are past finding out, but it's the glory of kings to search out a matter, and it's the honor of a king to hide the matter. So, Father, we are searching for you today. We're looking for you everywhere, everywhere. You said when we search for you with all of our heart, we will find you. So we are searching for you. We need you today. We need you every hour on the hour. Every second, we need you, Lord. So we are grateful today in Jesus' name. Well, our message today, the title, is taken from Proverbs 2 and 3. What good is wisdom without understanding? What good is wisdom without understanding? If we don't know what wisdom we have, we're not going to know how to use it. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, it says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Isn't he great? He gives us knowledge and understanding. He don't just give us wisdom. He gives us knowledge and understanding. You know what? Even Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived on the earth, he wasn't perfect. He had wisdom, but he lacked understanding of some things. So he had to go to God and say, Lord, give me more wisdom. Give me wisdom. The Lord asked him what he desired. He said, I desire wisdom. And I'm like him. I desire wisdom. But I know we also need understanding. We need knowledge. So he made many, many mistakes. But he depended on God for the wisdom to help him. Solomon didn't want his son to be ignorant. So Solomon taught his son how to get wisdom, how to get knowledge and understanding about life. He addressed his son over and over in Proverbs. He said, my son, hear the instructions of a father. He also warned his son not to forsake the law of his mother. He said, son, receive my words and treasure them inside of you so you will hear the wisdom I'm giving. Solomon prepared his son. He prepared him for life. That's what we have to do, prepare our sons and daughters for life. How many of us are preparing our grand, our spiritual children, and this future generation? We got to prepare them. How, you know, how to avoid the pitfalls, the mistakes we made. We made lots of mistakes. You know, the song said, we fall down, but we get up. Yeah. We fall down maybe 7 times, but we get up. I know it seems like they don't want to hear it, what we got to say. It seems like, you know, the word of God, you know, they kind of reject it. It seems like it. But in Titus 2, he said, older men teach the younger men. Older women teach the younger women. It didn't say anywhere in those scriptures, only if they want to hear the truth. No, we got to tell them. We got to plant. We got to water and let God what he needs to do, what he needs to do in them. You know, we point the finger at them sometimes. And you say, you shouldn't do that. Don't do that. Why are you doing that? And you know what? When we think back, we did the same thing. We just forgot. You say, I don't know why they act like that. We acted like that too. We just wasn't aware of it. They may roll their eyes. They may suck their teeth. You know, they may say, I already know that. But you tell them anyway. Psalm 78, you know, Psalm 78 is, oh, my God, it's such wisdom in that chapter. It says, listen to my teaching on the word of God. Tune your words to my mouth. Pay close attention when I speak. I will illustrate. I will tell you about several things. I will point them out so that they are clearly understood. I will make you to know and understand them, things that have been kept from you long ago, things you've heard before and known, things that your parents have told you. Our job is to tell them to our children and to the next generation about the Lord's power and great miraculous acts. Because God has done great acts in our lives. He's done great things. You know, when you look back over your life and you say, good God Almighty, how did I get through that? You know that song say, how did I get over? Oh, how I got over? We got over because of God. We couldn't go over those mountains. We couldn't be in the valleys alone. You know, when you were going through times of suffering, times of, you know, hardship, you say, oh, my God, my bank account is on zero. But, Lord, my children need to be fed. My grandchildren need to be fed. My family need to be fed. What am I going to do, Lord? I say, Lord, I don't even have the car note for this month. You know, he going to come through for you. He's a miraculous God. You could tell them, you know, back in whatever, 19, whatever, I was going through something, and God was faithful to me. I couldn't have made it without him. I didn't know what to do without him. You know, I remember a long time ago, I probably was 18, 19, and I had a job working in a hotel laundry. Whew, that was my first job, you know, real job, where I had to fill out the paperwork, put my social security number, and I was 18 years old. Do you know I only made $18 a week here in Jacksonville at the Hotel Washington or something? I think it's torn down now. But I'm telling you, it was a hard time. I would go home from work. I couldn't hardly move my muscles. I was working in the laundry, and we were pulling sheets out the basket. And those older women used to sit and talk to me and tell me, you know, things. They told me wisdom, and I would listen to them. They would tell me a lot of things. And you know what? I would be so tired when I got home. My shoulders would be hurting. I'd sit in a hot tub of water. My mother used to rub my shoulders and my back. I said, ooh, it hurt right here, Mom. She rubbed me down. So I thank God for those hard times because it helped me. After a while, I said, Mama, I can't do this all my life. I got to get a real job. I can't make $18 all my life. I said, these women, you know, they've been here a long time. Some of them are old. They've been working there a long time. I didn't want to do that all my life. That gave me understanding to know that I had to go to college. I said, oh, no, I can't do this. And I told my mom I was going to college. She was so happy. Oh, yeah, she was happy. And then, you know, I didn't know, you know, a lot of things. But I thank God for the people he put in my life. And I remember my pastor used to tell me, he said, just hang in there. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. And that's how we have to do. We have to encourage the young people. They get discouraged. They get discouraged. They go like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And you know what? We got to let them fall down and get up. Let them fall down. When you see a baby walking, let them fall down. It ain't going to kill them. They're going to fall down, but they're going to get up. And you encourage them. Say, get up, baby. Get up, baby. Get up. You're going to make it. Don't help them up. No, sometimes we want to help our children do this and do the other. It handicaps them. It make them crippled psychologically. That's why a lot of them say, oh, I can't deal with it. They go, give me a joint. They go smoke a joint so they don't even be available. Their body be there, but their minds are not there. They don't know how to cope with life. Let them go through struggles. It's going to help them in life to deal with the hardships. Don't you know David went through so many hardships when he was out there with the sheep? A lion came, and he knew what to do. He killed that lion. A bear came. He knew what to do. He was strong taking care of those sheep. But you know what? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. No, he knew. God trained him from a child up. So pray that God will train your children, your grandchildren, your spiritual children, so that when they grow up, they'll be able to deal with the hardship. They can't take the easy way out. You know, they got to go through the hardships of life. So when trials come, it won't knock them off the path of righteousness. They won't say, uh-uh, God, why you let me go through this? I don't like you, God. You know, no, they got to understand that God is there with them. When they falling down, when they get up, just like he was with us. He commanded our ancestors to make this known to their children so that the generation would know God. If we don't tell this generation about God, how else they going to know? Some of them don't have saved parents. My parents weren't saved when I was growing up. People of God came pick me up. My parents gave them permission to take me to church. And you know what? I'm a church child. I was so grateful that my parents let me go to church when I was young. You know, a lot of children now, they never even been on the church pew. They don't even go. Their parents don't send them. Your neighbor children. Sometimes I ask, can the children go to church with me? I've taken many children to church with me over the years. I do not have birth children. And I used to go to church. Sometimes I'd have a child with me or some children with me on the pew. People thought I had children. Then when the children didn't come, they're like, where your child? I said, I don't have children. They didn't even believe me. because somebody's child was always with me. So I'm telling you, we need to talk to this generation about God. How are they going to know about God if we don't tell them? This is an absent generation. They're absent. They don't know God. So we got to tell them. I know they don't want to hear it. You see, I mean, they walk in front of me smoking joints. I said, hey, come here. Let me tell you something. Oh, I'm sorry, man. I said, that's okay. God knew you were smoking that joint before I called you. That's okay. He knows everything you're doing. I said, let me pray for you. Yes, ma'am. They'll put it out. Let me pray for them. But we got to pray for them. Even if you don't pray, you know, in their faith, pray when they're walking down the street. If you're driving in your car or you're walking somewhere and you see them, pray for them. You don't have to stop them. You can say a silent prayer for them. They need prayer. Our young people are dying like flies, not only in the Ukraine, in America, every day. Look at the news. Look at the, you know, channel this and channel that. They dying like flies. So we got to tell them about the mighty God, the God, you know, God loves our children, and he wants them to live. But we got to tell them about the God who loves them, the God who cares for them, the God who looks out for them and protects them every day. Yeah, he's the shepherd. Do you know some children never heard, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? They never heard, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. They never heard, children, obey your parents in the Lord. They don't even know what a Bible is. They never seen one before. But guess what? Not only do we have to show them the written Bible, we got to show them the living Bible, our lives. We got to teach them what thus said the Lord by living it out. Yeah, telling the truth. What good is wisdom without understanding? If we don't understand why we're on the earth, we're not going to do what we're supposed to do. We were down here to do a particular thing. Have you asked God, do you know what your purpose is? Lord, why are you sent me on the earth? I know you sent me here. You know, he sent Jesus here to do a particular thing. And he did it. He left 33 years. Short life. But he accomplished more than we ever fit off the earth. So we must sit down without interruption. We got to get rid of the cell phone, the TV, the internet, the Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and ask God for strategy on how to reach this generation. We got to, you know, we don't always know how to reach the generation. We got to ask God for strategy. Lord, I see these young people, their hair purple, green, red. They got tattoos all over there from the neck down. How do I talk to them, Lord? I'm not used to that. You know, are they going to hurt me? You know, we don't know. We don't know what they're going to do. But we ask God, Lord, how do I speak to the young people? How do I speak to my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, the children in my neighborhood, the children at the church? And, you know, some people, I've heard children, they talk about church hurt. Yeah, Sister so-and-so, she told me, shut my mouth in church. Oh, that's no way to talk to them. That shows that you have no self-respect. They need loving kindness just like we do. We don't tell them, shut your mouth. No, you got to be loving and kind. You can just put your finger over your mouth. They understand that. That means shh. And you don't have to say shh, shh, because that makes too much noise. It distracts everybody else. Just put your finger over your mouth. They know what that means. Or you say, come here, baby. Come here, let me tell you something. Oh, you know what? I just love you so much. You're so precious. There's a way to do everything. Don't discourage him. Say, look here, why your dress is so high, so short? No, don't ask him that. Just talk to him. Say, you know, you look so beautiful. I am so proud that you are here at church today. It's good to see you in the house of God. That's okay. The longer they're there, them skirts going to get a little shorter. I mean, a little longer. Because they don't know. You know, I didn't come from a church household. I had to learn so many things. But the older women, they took me under their wings and they taught me. They loved on me and they taught me. Wisdom, you know, is what we need. Wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, good judgment. Not poor judgment, good judgment. Sound mind. many of us have many experiences and great knowledge that would benefit this generation. So they will not make the same mistakes we made. You know, many church people feel, you know, the children say, oh, yeah, Sister So-and-so, she ain't never did no wrong. Uh-uh, that's a lie. We all did something wrong. Brother So-and-so, he ain't never did. Oh, yes, we did. We just make them think that we was perfect, that we was always good, goody two-shoes. That's a lie. Tell them the truth. Baby, I remember when I used to lie. You know, I remember when I was tipping out. I remember when I was in the barroom. I remember when I was, you know, whatever it is you did. They go, look, don't you know children have discernment? You ain't the only one who has discernment. They know. They go like, They was going with sisters. They know if a brother in the church is going with another woman who ain't his wife. They know if a sister's going with another man who's not their husband. Those children are brilliant. They have discernment, I'm telling you. But then we got to teach them how to use that discernment the right way for God. Yeah, they have discernment. That's how many of them are still alive. So we got to teach them not to be ignorant and gullible. Now, you know, many children walk down the street all the time with those cell phones in their hand, looking in the cell phone, even in the car. I'm not talking about just at a stoplight. They driving with the cell phone, texting while they driving. Oh, no, we got to let them know the dangers because they don't know the dangers. Solomon told his son, Solomon had daughters and sons. When he was talking to his son, he was talking to his daughter, too. When Solomon was talking to his sons in Proverbs, yeah, his son Rehoboam, that was his son, who later became king. Do you know what your grandchildren and your grandchildren will be when they grow up? Our job is to observe them, pay attention to them, and, you know, look at what's on the inside of them. You say, oh, Lord, they're always singing, always humming, always playing music, always got that thing in their ear, listening to music. Are they going to be a musician? They always beating on the table. They're going to be a drummer? Oh, yeah, they're always, you know, they're always writing something. Are they going to be a journalist? They write on the wall. They draw. Are they going to be an artist? What are they going to be? Observe. Ask God, what's my child going to be? What's my grandchild going to be? He trained. Solomon taught and trained his children to be leaders. He taught them to avoid the pitfalls because he had a lot of them. He made a lot of mistakes. Do you warn your children, your grandchildren, about the pitfalls to avoid? Our children, our grandchildren, are being taught and trained by electronic games. Those things don't have no heart. They don't have no compassion on the children. They don't have any feelings. Do you know our children cannot distinguish between what's real? Because they're on these games, and these games seem like real life. They see, you know, men fighting against each other, shooting each other, knocking each other down. So they think that's real life. They see women, you know, doing all kinds of things on their girls, they changing clothes on the children. Oh, you know, they do all kinds of things. But that's not real life. We got to let them know what's real and what's not real. They need somebody to listen to them, too. Not just to preach at them all the time, but somebody who can listen to them. I know we want to tell them, baby, don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. But no, do we ever say, what you doing in school today? What did your teacher tell you? What do you do when you get out of school? You know, talk to them. Respect them. Honor your children. I know they're to honor you and obey you too, your grandchildren, your spiritual children. What good is wisdom without understanding? Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, come knowledge and understanding, which means we got to get before God and get knowledge and understanding. Yeah, he gave us wisdom, but we may not know how to use the wisdom. So we got to get before God. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And we need to be free. We don't need to be bound up. Some of us are so bound up in religion, we think that this is the way. No, Jesus came to kill religion. That's what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. It's about religion, not about the love of God. God says you to love me with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love each other like you love yourself. They ain't got that message yet in Ukraine and Russia. They ain't got that. what kind of knowledge is this concerning the truth? No, knowledge means to be aware of through observation. I'm going to tell you, children observe you. You are a walking book. What do you want them to observe? You want them to observe you on your knees praying? You want them to observe you singing, all them songs with the cussing in it? Oh, my God, they be driving down my neighborhood loud music. I was just telling somebody recently, their baby, it was loud music. I said, please move your baby from around the loud music because it affects their ears. Baby, just 6 months. It affects their ears. Don't play loud music around those children, your grandchildren, your great, your neighborhood children. No, it affects their ears. I taught school 29 years, and over the period of years that I taught, more and more kids needed tubes in their ears, needed hearing aids, because they couldn't hear. Why? The loud music, the bump, the bump, the bump, the bump, the bump. So we have to give them, we have to first get knowledge, then teach them knowledge. We got to get knowledge. We got to get understanding. You know, it takes a long time to get knowledge, to get understanding. We don't just get it overnight. Understanding is a deeper level of knowing. Knowing is a process in the mind where understanding, you know, is processed in the brain. Not in the hands, not in the feet, in the brain. Understanding may take longer to acquire than knowledge. We need to understand, and we need wisdom to understand the knowledge that we have. Solomon got knowledge and understanding on how to use the knowledge that God gave him. He received both of them. Why do we need wisdom? Why do we need knowledge? Why do we need understanding? In order to carry out God's will, to carry out his instructions. That's why we need wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Solomon says, incline our ears to wisdom, apply our hearts to understanding, cry out for discernment. Discernment gonna let you know the fake from the real. You want to know who your friend is? Ask God for discernment so he can let you know that's not your friend. That's your friend. That's your friend. That's your friend. God will let you know through getting closer to him. That's how you get discernment. 1 Kings 3:9 says, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I might discern between good and evil, who is able to govern your people. That's what Solomon wants. Proverbs chapter 3 talks about guidance for young people in our family, in our church, and young people all over, in our neighborhood. They all need guidance. In the United States, they need guidance. When we see righteousness in, when they see the righteousness in us, and righteousness is just living right, being honest, telling the truth, having a life of integrity. They know if you're going down there and gambling, you know, at the local, what you call it, gas station. They know if you're buying them lottery tickets, you know, the money you spent, you know, you're supposed to have for your tithe. They know if you're doing all those things. You know, when I was a child, I used to play Bolita. I said, girl, what's the number today? They tell each other the number, and they play Bolita. Now, people say, oh, yeah, I saw that number. Let me go play it. Mm-mm. No, God wants us to use wisdom and understanding. He don't want us to play the lottery and all that. He wants us to give the money to the storehouse. So, yeah, the enemy, our enemies will be devoured. Young people watch us, whether we know it or not. Even babies observe us. That's how they live. It appears they're not paying attention. They watch us closely. Titus 2 tells us, people who are reverent in behavior, not slanderous, making false, damaging information. You know, gossiping. Girl, you saw her? You saw him? Oh, no. You better watch him. You better watch her. You saw them? They ain't right. You know, gossip. He don't want us to do that. Men and women who are not given the strong drink, that's what Titus talk about. Teachers of good things. don't teach them evil, wicked things. Do you know, I know when I taught first grade in Michigan, that was in the 70s, late 70s. This little boy, he was 8 years old in the first grade, and he smoked cigarettes. You could smell it on him. His mama, I said, Chris, why are you smoking? My mama told me to go light up her cigarette. Now he was 8 years old. Well, who's telling their children, their grandchildren, go light up a cigarette or go bring me a beer out the refrigerator? We teaching them how to drink, how to become. Then when they get 35, they go like, they drunk all the time. You always drinking. Stop drinking. But we taught them how. We taught them how. We got to live right so that they'll know how to live right. You know, human beings need examples, good examples. What we see our youth doing now every day is the example that we have or have not given them. I'm going to say it again. That's the example we have or have not given them. Let's live our lives so that when they see us, you know, they'll know, oh, yeah, that's a holy woman of God. Oh, yeah, that's a holy man of God. Amen, amen. So I'm going to unmute the line. Get your Bibles ready, 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 ready. Yeah, our young people need examples. You wonder why so many young people are going astray? They ain't had good examples. You see some young people, you know, they're hanging in the street. They're 8 and 9 years old, hanging in the street after 10 o'clock. 8 and 9 years old, hanging in the street. They should be at home in the bed, 8 and 9 years old. Their mama, get up, get yourself. And they F and them, all the D and the, all them words. Oh, those are the ones we got to nurture. Those are the ones, you know, you see them angry. They 30 years old, ain't got no job. They're angry. They stealing people's cars. They ripping and running. They're angry. Why? Nobody nurtured them. Nobody told them how to live. Nobody told them that God loves them. They think God hates them. They don't think nothing about taking a gun, going to the local service station and shooting them all up, or going to one of them McDonald's and shooting up. They don't think nothing about it. They ain't got no heart, no conscience. They just do whatever they want to do. Why? Because we did not take time to nurture them. So let's repent. Let's go back. Let's tell them. They may not want to hear it, but the Bible didn't say if they want to hear it, he said, tell them. So we got to tell them. So the lines are unmuted. Anybody want to add to anything I said or didn't say? Anybody? Somebody? State your name and go ahead.
This is the scenario.
Okay. Go ahead, Sister Mary.
Oh, I was just going to say and agree with what you said. The kids, they be watching us. We don't know that they're watching us, but they can come back and tell us what we did or what we said. And these little kids, if you curse around them, they store that. And they say it at the right time. And you wonder, well, where they heard that from, where they got that from. But they got it from being around somebody that was doing it. And they pick it right up. So we have to, like you say, instill in them godly stuff so they won't be out there in the world when they get older.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Mary. Anybody else? That was excellent. Anybody else?
Sister Vivian. Yes, Sister Vivian. An agreement what you said and what Sister Mary said. You know, I look at my own grandchildren one day. They came over to visit, and she was saying something, and he told her how he felt, and she almost cursed him out and told him never do that again. He embarrassed her because he told the truth, you know. So children, and then he say, you don't never do what you say you're going to do. You don't never be on time. You're always 2 hours late. And that woman wanted to kill that boy. And so, you know, sometimes children are afraid to say something because they know that the parent going to jump on them, and they know that the parent is wrong what they're doing. So the children have a lot to deal with in the home.
Amen. Yes, they do. Thank you, Sister Vivian.
Sister D, this is Sister Laney. Thank you for that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful lesson. So many wonderful advisors he's given us about fine-tuning how we approach children. I'm learning so much, and this is a wonderful lesson. Just last week, a lady was with me talking about a friend of hers who was chastising her grandchild because the child went to school at 5 years old and called his teacher the B-word. And when she asked him, she was getting ready to whip him up, why do you do that? He said, well, Grandmama, you call me that all the time. So he figured it was all right to call the teacher that because his grandmother was calling him that. And that's because that's the example that she laid. What I wanted to ask is, what is your advice to us about how to minister to that generation of family members of older, like, in their 20s, and they're still trying to figure out where they fit, how they belong, trying to get their job situation under control, and you see them so frustrated because they can't seem to get it together. Do you have any advice for us of how to encourage them? You know, they've gotten almost frustrated that others have seemed to go on and did one thing, and they seem to be stuck in a place, or like you were in that job you had, they didn't see any way out. How can we, do you have any advice to help us to minister those young people, that age group?
Yeah. Well, I remember my, like I tell you, my pastor used to encourage me. He said, he used to always encourage me. He said, you're going to make it. You can do it. Just hang in there. And then, you know, the other thing, too, is fasting and praying for them without them even knowing it. Just fast and pray. Say, look, I'm going to take the day. I'm going to fast from 6 o'clock to noon. I'm going to fast from 6 to 6. And Lord, and then pray during that time. Pray for them. Say, Lord, this my neighbor. This my niece. This my, my nephew. This my cousin. And they're struggling. And I'm coming before you to break the struggle, to break that struggle in them. So that's what we have to do. We have to sometimes take time to fast and pray. And then sometimes sit down and say, listen, what's going on your job? Or what's going on when you go to fill out an application? What's going on? And you know what? This is I was walking in the park about 3 or 4 years ago, and the Lord said, pray with these. It was 3 people sitting on the bench. They were in their 30s, and they didn't. I said, can I pray for y'all? Yes, ma'am. I said, what y'all do every day? Nothing. I said, well, how y'all live? Well, I live with my aunt. I live with my mama. I live with my grandma. They take care of me. We got to stop that. We got to set the tone, and we got to say, listen, no. You know, some of them say, oh, come by. Oh, can I have 25? Don't give them to us. Make them work for us. Say, sure, the yard need raking, or I need you to mop this or that. You know, make them earn a living. You know, we have pampered them too much, given to them. They're living off the silver platter. We got to break that. Parents are guilty of letting them, you know, oh, my baby. No, they ain't your baby. They grown up now. Let them cut the umbilical cord. Get them off the apron. Uh-uh. So we got to pray that parents would let them go. Because you see, I met a man recently. He's in his 30s. He said, I still live with my parents. I said, what you do? Oh, I sell this and I sell that. I said, oh, well, can you sell? Oh, I used to sell that. You know, parents are keeping them in the household too long. Make them get a job. My mama told me I was 8. She said, you got to get a job. She wasn't going to take care of me. So we got to tell them, baby, to a certain age. And their parents, you know, why are you hanging on to your child like that? What if you die tomorrow? What's your child going to do? I knew a friend that years ago, he told me, he said, Caritha, I didn't have enough wisdom. My parents left me a house, and you know I sold it, and then I became homeless.
Oh, Lord.
So we got to get wisdom.
My God,
Well, Sister G, you know, these days, children that's under 18, in school, they are getting a large amount of food stamps. So they don't go to work, and all they do is use the food stamps to eat off and to sell. So these children are not going to go to work. If you make them try to make them go to work, they're not going to work because the system now is spoiling them.
Yeah, they're going
and
to
then
come
Huh?
No, they'll go to work in my house. Let me tell you. Okay, hold up one second. A 16-year-old lived with me. But before she came to live with me, she had a disagreement with her grandma. She used to cut class every week, cutting class, hanging out with the children. So when she came to live with me, I said, look here. Now, let me tell you something. I ain't got time to waste. You're 16. In a couple of years, you're going to be out of school. Now, if you want to get an education, you go to school, and you better be in class. I'm going to come check on you. And if you're not in class, look here, you're going to get a job, baby. And the only job you're going to get is McDonald's, Burger King. You're not going to be able to get a good job. So you got to lay down the law. They'll work. You say, no, you can't eat my food. I wouldn't let her eat my food. I said, no, you go in there and cook your own food. I don't know how to cook. You going to learn today, baby. You watch me cook mine.
Hey, they love
you
going to
cook
yours.
I take it to the grocery store. I'm sorry, say that again.
They learn how to cook. They just don't want to cook. They want to eat fast food, and they're on food stamp. And the mom on food stamp, and the children on food stamp.
Yeah, well, those are the ones we got to pray for, like Sister Lanny was saying. Sister Lanny, did you finish saying what you were saying?
Yes, I'm hearing what you're saying, but what was really powerful, you said earlier, to let them fall. You say, let them fall, and then when you let them fall, let them get up. Let mean allow. Allow them to fall. Don't try to pick them up. And I've seen that even in my family, sometimes when the children mess up, they'll so quickly rescue them out of it. Then they do the same thing again, they rescue them out of it. They're not learning from that. They are enabling them by trying to help them. There's a young man in my church family went to jail, and somebody asked him, how did you get here? And his answer was, nobody stopped me. Nobody stopped me. That was his answer. They just kept letting me do what I do, and then they kept helping me. And you said, let them fall. Allow them to fall, and that will allow them they will have to get up. Sometimes they hit rock bottom. That's harsh. But I know it's true. I know it's true because otherwise you'd be covered in
an able. It's called tough love. It's called tough love. That is not harsh.
Yeah.
It's called tough love. It is not harsh at all. Easy on this generation. We let them do whatever they want to do. But if you beat them with a rod, but you can't beat them when they're 16. They're going to beat you if you waited until they're 16 to whip them. They'll whip you. They'll whip you. I mean, you know, I've seen 5 and 6-year-olds, you know, really mean to their parents, and they're out of control. People, you know, I used to counsel with a lot of parents when I taught school. They come to me with Sister G, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, this is what you do. And I remember a lady, she was teaching on Sundays with me. And this little boy was 3 years old. And then she started teaching on Wednesdays, and I was doing on Sundays. And she said, Sister G, how do you get him to sit down? He won't sit down for me. I said, boy, you better sit in that chair and shut your mouth. And she said, well, I can't be mean to him. I said, that's not mean. That's tough love. I said, that's the way his daddy talked to him. Now, I can't say that to his sister. His sister wouldn't understand that. But if I said to him, he know that means sit down and shut up. He was only 3. She said, he run around. He said, he run around in my room. I said, no. I said, boy, get in that chair and sit down. That's tough love. That is not mean. He understood that.
Sister G, you know, I was in red, white, and blue. This woman had her baby in the basket. I think he was maybe about 2 or 3 years old. And he just riding around sticking up his middle finger at everybody, and she looking at it laughing. So the parent is not going to train the children the right way. She thought that was funny, and she said, boy, stop that. Look at that boy. You know, I thought that was so ugly. for this boy riding around, this baby. This baby don't know, but somebody done trained him that from home. He just riding around sticking up his finger at people.
Yeah. Sister G,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sister Mary.
I have a comment. When you say let them fall, the sister saying let them fall and let them get up. But I have an instance where this woman did everything for her son. He was 38, and he cussed mm-hmm. her so bad and talked about her so bad, and she continued to help him. He kept getting arrested. She kept going there, putting money on him for that account. Then when he get out, he tried to make her feel guilty. Oh, you ain't never done nothing for me, and this and that. You don't love me. And I told her, I said, uh-uh, honey. I said, don't do nothing else for him. Don't let him come back to live with you. Let him stay right out there in the street. He's smart. He can get a good job. He choose not to. He choose not to.
Yeah.
These kids think that we owe them something.
Right.
That we owe them something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I
like
tell
that.
Them, I say, yeah, I say, kids are invited into the marriage. They are invited into the marriage. They have to do what the parents tell them to do. And after you don't raise them a certain way and they get to be a certain age and they do the opposite of what they know is right, then that ain't your fault. That ain't on you. That's on them.
That's the time.
And I'm told, don't let him, don't let him make you feel guilty and throw a guilt trip on you because you know you done did all that you can do. And he keeps throwing that up in her face. You know, I told him, uh-uh. I said, don't let him continue to run your blood pressure up, worrying about him. I said, no, don't even do it. I said, you, what you do for him, you continue to pray for him. That's what you do.
Sister Mary and Sister G, I have two words for that. I call it emotional blackmail. You're holding me hostage because you know I love you. You know I love you.
Exactly.
And you're holding me hostage to that emotion, emotional blackmail. I can make you feel like you didn't do this. I can make you feel that's bondage. That parent is in bondage to that child's words, and the child is in control.
All right, we're going to stop right here, and I'm going to ask someone to volunteer. I'm going to ask Sister Zelana if she would pray for our family, youth, you know, the parents, the youth, all that we talked about. If you will, but if not, we'll ask someone else. Are you available to pray, Sister Zelana?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, Lord God, lifting up the family. We come up lifting up the male, the female, the children, everything, Lord God, that makes up family according to your observance and according to your rules and regulations or laws, if I call it, Father. Asking, Lord God, that you would touch the man's heart, Lord God, that he would be in his rightful place and rightful position, Lord God, that even, Lord God, you would touch the woman's heart, Lord God, that she would operate in her rightful position as well. Lord God, asking that they begin to work together. We renounce and bind all third parties that would come in to try to disrupt or destroy family, Father, in the name of Jesus. We make the declaration, Lord God, that there is no weapon, according to your word, that should be formed against them that will ever prosper. We know that there are things that are going on, but Father, we renounce and bind all forms of selfishness. We bind, Lord God, all forms of self-centeredness and all forms, Lord God, that will make the person, Lord God, male or female, Lord God, act in a certain way that they should not, according to family. We pray, Lord God, for the children, praying, Lord God, that they would get influences, even if it's not their mother, their father, Lord God, that there would be someone, Lord God, that will begin to make the groups and the plans, even in school, Lord God, that will help them to have influences that are positive. We prefer godliness, Lord God, but even if it's no one that's born again, believer in Christ, if they would just, if they would actually, Lord God, begin to just operate out of guidelines that are correct, Lord God, according to your will. Praying, Lord God, that you hold them together. Praying, Lord God, that their standard, Lord God, not be the standard of this world, but, Lord God, that their standard be the standard of the word of God. Praying, Lord God, that true agape love would reign in their hearts, Father. Praying, Lord God, that those voices that speaking to them, Lord God, those voices that we know of that would push them in a way that's ungodly, Lord God, that they would, Lord God, renounce those voices. And, Father, that they would open their ears and open their eyes to hear you. We bind those things that come to destroy them. And, Lord God, we loose the spirit of love. We loose the spirit of joy. We loose the spirit of peace. And we loose the spirit of respect. And we bind disrespect in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. Brother Brian, how are you today? Brother
I'm
Brian.
I'm doing good, Sister G. Hey, everyone.
Hello. All right, I need you to do me a favor. I need Brother Brian and Sister Vivian to find these two scriptures and pray these scriptures according to the, you know, what we're dealing with today. Brother Brian, your scripture is Proverbs 2, verse 6. I'm telling you, he'd be hitting them on that podcast he has during the week. I listened to it, talking about wisdom, all kinds of things. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, Brother Brian, if you'll pray that in a few minutes. And Vivian, if you'll pray Proverbs 6, 15 through 19. Write it down when I give it to you and then look it up. Proverbs 6, 15 through 19. Okay, and Brother Brian, Proverbs 2, 6. Let me know who's ready.
I'm ready, Sister G.
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
Gracious Father, we thank you.
Yes, no. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for all that you are to us. Thank you for being our God, for being our Father, for being our protector and our provider. And God, for giving us your love and sharing your wisdom with us, God. And we ask right now, as we confirm in your word, that all wisdom comes from you, and out of your mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And we ask that you will give us knowledge, God, because the fear of you is the beginning of knowledge. And as we grow to love and respect you, God, we will obtain wisdom, which is the ability to apply the things that you teach us. And understanding is the ability to know when to use the wisdom that you have given us. And I pray that over all, each and every one of us, I pray that especially over our generation, that you will give them wisdom as well, God, that you will remove the things that they struggle with, that you will allow them to overcome the things that they deal with on a daily basis, and that you will give them wisdom on how to walk through this life. You will give them wisdom on how to protect and provide for themselves, that you will give them the wisdom to interact with each other in love and in grace, that you will give them the wisdom to go after you and to seek you, God, because as they draw near to you, you will draw near to them. And with your relationship, God, the salvation that you offer is above any gift that they could ever have and attain. And we thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brian. Awesome. Awesome prayer. Sister Vivian, want to read it first and then pray it?
Okay. Therefore shall be he be broken without remedy.
That's not it.
You said 15. You said 15 through 19.
Proverbs 6, 15 through 19.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading. Okay.
Really? I must have wrote it down. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
These things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running into mischief, false witness that speak lies, and he who sow discord among the brethren. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, Lord, we're coming before you in behalf of, God, of our young people, our teens, our preteen, God, all those, oh, God, where the enemy, oh, God, will love to land them into all of these seven things, these wicked things, oh, God, that you hate, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. You said, Lord God, and you hate a proud look. And God, when they have this proudness about them, Lord God, and then it's nothing but pride, oh God. Their pride don't want to be, oh God, attacked, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, a lying tongue, so many of them just lies and lies, God. And Lord, you are looking on your children. You see all these lying tongues, oh God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, and hands, oh God, that shed innocent blood, they're going around with guns and knives and all kind of instruments to cause people to bleed, God. They want to drink blood. They want to, oh God, see someone suffer, see the blood come on. Oh, devil, use a liar and using our young people to this point. Father, in the name of Jesus, a heart, God, give them a heart of love, oh God, instead of a wicked heart, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. Oh God, touch their heart, God. Return, break that old stony heart, God, so that they can, oh God, realize who they are, where they are, God, where they going, oh God. In the name of Jesus, and those that are running into mischief, oh God, just trying, they love, oh God, to start all kind of stuff, oh God. Father God, oh, that mischievous child, oh God, that rebellious child, oh God, that one that's trying to find, oh God, cults to join others into cults and things, in the name of Jesus. Anyone that's trying to run to mischief and cause all kind of havoc, we command it out of them in the name of Jesus and make them so ever whole in Jesus' name. And those that sow discord, God, oh, saying she said, he said, and oh God, and it starts and it goes on and on and on until there are battles, oh God. They are fighting with their mouth, fighting with their hands, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you said, oh God, you hate a false witness, God. So, Father God, that spread these lies. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we are just bringing our children before you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, then we casting all these demon spirits from them that's following on down from one to another, oh God, causing, oh God, havoc in our land, God, in the name of Jesus. We are praying for our land to be whole in our homes, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you for those prayers. Thank you all for the comments. It's scripture search time. This one comes from the book of poetry. This scripture is found in what book, chapter, and verse? His foundation is in the holy mountain. Where is that? His foundation is in the holy mountain. What's the book, chapter, and verse? Take your name and give it.
Oh, shoot.
Hey, Sister G, this is Talana. It's found in Psalms 81, Psalms 87, verse 1.
Okay, good job. All right, thank you, Talana. From the book of poetry, where is this scripture found? Give me the book, chapter, and verse. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thy heart unto my knowledge. Where is that? It's in the books of poetry. Proverbs is one of the books of poetry that we're in today. We're doing that study on from the books of poetry. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Where is that? Book, chapter, verse.
Oh, sister lady, Proverbs 22, verse 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my wisdom. Incline thine ear and hear the words otherwise.
Thank you so much. All right. Excellent. Okay, next scripture. This is from the books of poetry as well. Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Where is that found? It's in one of the books of poetry. Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Take your name, give the book, chapter, and verse. Who is as a wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom make his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed.
Let's see. I believe it's is this number 624-26? The Lord bless you and keep you, Lord. No, that's just making. Okay.
No.
Numbers. I think that is.
No, no. It's in one of the books of poetry.
Oh. Okay.
You got to know the books of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the books of law, Numbers. One of the books of poetry.
Okay.
Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. But, Brian, you sleeping on me? Come on. Search him out, y'all.
Sister Judith Talana, is it Ecclesiastics 8 and 1?
Yes, read it.
Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed.
Amen. Thank you, Talana. We got two more. Good job. You are doing great. From the books of poetry, this scripture says, surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a blabber is no better. Where is that found? Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, but a blabber is no better.
It's also in Ecclesiastics. It's Talana.
Okay.
And it says, surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a blabber is no better.
Oh, Lord.
Where is it?
Ecclesiastics. Ecclesiastics 10:11.
Excellent. Yep. Okay, the last one in this area. From the books of poetry, this scripture says, shall any teach God knowledge, seeing he judges that those that are high? Shall any teach God knowledge, seeing he judges those that are high? That's one of the books of poetry.
Sister G, that is Job chapter 21, verse 22. And it reads.
And your name is?
Brother Brian. And it reads, shall any teach God knowledge, seeing he judges those that are high?
Amen. All right. You guys did an excellent job. Wow. Yep. All right, homework time. Brother Brian, I need to stretch you a little bit. I'd love you to say
okay. Something on that very Ecclesiastes 10 and 11 about the enchantment. Before we go to that, that was rich. I would love you to speak to Ecclesiastes 10 and 11.
Oh, where it talks about...
Interpret that a little bit for us.
Oh, yeah, you know, let's give you some other... Okay. Can somebody talk to Lana or Brian? Somebody go to the Message Bible, Ecclesiastes 10:11, and let us know when you get it. Yeah, you know, like a serpent will bite you, and, you know, before you know it, but a blabber, a gossiper, you know, they ain't no better than a serpent. So, to Lana or Brian, Ecclesiastes 10:11, Message Bible.
I'm here, Sister G.
I have it.
Go ahead, Brian.
Okay. Ecclesiastes 10 and 11. If the snake bites before it's been charmed, what's the point in then sending for the charmer?
Is nothing else to that one?
Nope, that was it. That's what 11 said. If the snake bites before it's been charmed, what's the point in then sending for the charmer?
Well, a blabber is like a gossiper. It's no different. Okay. All right.
Okay, can I say what my Bible say?
Yes. Who's that, Vivian?
Sister Vivian. The argument of this verse is that both a slanderer and a serpent should be swiftly avoided. Avoid these people. The slander is looked at by the Lord same as a snake. That's the way God look at you. You look at you as a snake if you're a babbler.
Sister G, I know we got to do the lesson, but I wanted to look at it in the Amplified. It said, if the serpent bites before being charmed, then there is no profit for the charmer.
Okay.
If the serpent bites before being charmed, then there is no profit for the charmer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Did that help, Sister Lani?
Yes, ma'am. There's a lady that told me the definition of nothing. She said nothing, if you break up nothing, it means no thing, ain't nothing in it. To have a relationship with somebody who has a serpent spirit, ain't nothing in it. It's a no thing. It's not like my sister just said, it's not going to profit you anything. It'll do anything and do harm to avoid those people. You know, sometimes as faith people in the body of Christ, we learn who people can call us and who don't need to call us, because some people call and all they got is a report on Sister G and a report on Sister Vivian. That's always negative, you know.
Right.
So you have to avoid those conversations, avoid those people.
Yes, ma'am. I know what you mean. All right. Anybody else? Before we move on, it's homework time. Brother Brian, your homework is in chapter 3. But the person who had chapter 2, we're just going to leave that off. They have 1. Oh, wait. No, Brother Brian, what's your homework? I'm sorry.
Proverbs 2, verses, I think it's 8 through 16, if I'm not mistaken.
16. Yeah, 8 through 16. All right. So, go ahead.
Okay. So, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. I actually had a few of these. I kind of pray I got actually a bunch of stuff to say. I'm going to try to condense it as much as possible. I'll just give you the ones that like really stuck out with me. And the biggest one was Proverbs 2 and 11, where it says, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee, to deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the way of the man that speaks froward things. And so basically, just to summarize it, discretion is discernment, so being able to identify people's intentions, to identify their traits, whether they're good or bad, and then having that discretion helps you in accordance with understanding to, you know, avoid that path or to deal with those people in wisdom. So, for instance, like we were talking about the snake before and the slanderer person, discernment will help keep us from slanderous people. And in the case where we may get slandered against, you know, God will give us the wisdom and the understanding of how to deal with that person when those things happen.
Okay.
Another one that was really good with me was actually chapter verses 14 through 16. It says that those, once again, these are the same ones, the evil man, the one who rejoices to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and forward in their path to deliver you from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flatters with her words. And with those, the things that I had wrote down and had got from this is that God will also keep us from going into the directions of people who don't have the best intentions for us. So he'll keep us off the path. Sometimes he'll, you know, put things in the way where we can't get to the situation, even if we, you know, with our minds go against what he says at times. And then other times he may end us going into it anyway if we don't choose to use the wisdom and the discernment that he has given us. And that was it.
Amen. Thank you. Excellent. All right, Sister Vivian, you got Proverbs 2:17-22.
Proverbs 2:17-22. Okay. Blessings and rewards of heeding wisdom. God wants us to realize that there are blessings when we heed to the wisdom of his word, praise God. And also he said he wants us to incline our ear and listen. Listen to what the Spirit has to say to the church, amen. And we ought to lift up our voice with understanding of what God and ask for understanding if we don't know. Praise God, to seek not for the things of this world, but for the things that is pleasing unto God, because God provides all the good things for us. And then we shall, you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge in him. As I said, the Lord gives us wisdom and knowledge and understanding, praise God. And we, you know, all we have to do is ask the Lord, and he said, whatever we ask in his name, he said he will do it, praise God. And he lays up sound wisdom for the righteous, praise God. And whatever God give you is from the Lord, and if you know it's true, because thy word does not lie, praise God. God is a true God, and he gives good wisdom to his children, praise God. Hallelujah. And he tells us to keep the path of judgment and preserve the way of the saints. God preserves our way when we are trusting in him and reading his word, studying his word, partaking of his word, eating of his word, praise God. He tells us to eat and drink and that we'll have plenty to give out to others, amen. And so we are to understand God's righteousness and what it is to us, amen. And by doing that, it enters into our heart. Praise God. And it's pleasant to our soul when we partake. Oh, my God. It's just good for us. And that's why when we go to the church and we hear the word, because we already have it in us, it's good to our soul. Hallelujah. And it sets us on fire. Praise God. Fire for the Lord. And he'll deliver us from the way of the evil man and from those that speak forward things. God, as I heard him say before, God is leading us, praise God, and keeping us from the ways of the wicked, praise God, hallelujah, whose ways are crooked and forward in their path. Those people are crooked, and they talk with all kind of forward lips and every kind of thing, you know, and deliver us from the strange woman. And men don't have to be carried into all these strange women out here, because God will lead them to the right woman, praise God, hallelujah. And they won't be set up, praise God, they won't be set up by no Jezebel and all this kind of stuff, praise God, which forsakes the God of her past and forgets the covenant of her God. Praise God, for a house inclined to death and a path inclined to the dead. Amen.
All right, thank you. Okay, it's 2:05, so we got other people to get on. Sister Lanny. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. I had verses 3, Psalm 3, 1 through 7. And the thread of these two verses can be, these verses can be hung on the first verse that says, my son, forget not, which simply means to remember. Forget not means you need to remember. Remember what you've learned about who you are and what I've told you, what I've taught you, what you know about me. And the second component is the part of the heart. When you are remembering what God has laid, outlined for your life, your heart has to play a role in your remembering. My brother preached a sermon that said, don't forget to remember. Trust in the Lord will allow you to store, I'm sorry, trust in God will allow your heart to store the remembrance of your faith. I'll say that again. Trust in God will allow your heart to store the remembrance of your faith. It will lengthen your days, add years and peace to your daily life. Set a watch on your faith, love, and devotion to God. Keep a visual of his sovereign reign on your person and in your heart. Take care to guard them. God to guard your heart, especially when you've been through disappointment and you found yourself to be in a compromising situation. Don't rely on your trust in people, places, and things. Sincerely give God the role of being that lead. And all things, recognize the God of your salvation. Ask for clear guidance through prayer and be led of the Holy Spirit. And finally, rest in the knowledge that all tests and trials will lead you to your ordained necessary path to God's revelation of his might in your behalf and in your life. God has the first and the last say so. Remember him and don't allow anything. Forget those things behind you and press with the prize. Cast them all at the foot of the empty cross and remember your God. Thank you.
Amen. All right. You're moving right along. Thank you. Sister Marion, Proverbs 3, 8 through 13. Sister Marion, you there? Sister Marion? Hello? Okay,
I'm sorry. Can you hear me? I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me
yes.
now? I'm sorry. Okay. And verse 8 is it said, shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It said, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruit of your increase. And if you give him the best and give him the first fruit, then your barns will fill plenty and the presses shall burst out with new wine. But the verse that I like, it says, my son, despise not the chastising of the Lord, neither be thou weary his correction. I know when my pastor used to chastise me, I used to get so angry and so mad. But then I learned from his chastising me that he loved me. And in his correction, it was to make me better. And it showed that he loved me. And in verse 12, it says, whom the Lord loveth, even as a father to the son, in whom he delighted, he will correct them. And in his correction, he was showing his love. And said, happy is a man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. So it's, don't be afraid when somebody correct you or criticize you. If it's in the long run, it's going to help you. Use that as a way of doing better. That was 8
Amen.
Through 13.
Thank you so much. All right. Thank you, Sister Marion. All right. We got Talana, Proverbs 3, 21 through 27.
Okay. He's still telling them about wisdom and discretion. And just piggybacking off of some of the things, one of the things that kind of stuck out to me was when he told them that discretion and wisdom would be life to thy soul. And we know that thy soul has to do with gonna hold up your neck. And I was kind of puzzled on what you mean grace gonna hold up your neck. But if your grace helps you be lifted, grace helps lift you up. So if grace is holding up the neck, those emotions and those things, with wisdom and discretion, you'll be able to make better choices. And so I looked up, and he talked about wisdom and discretion, with discretion being the ability that God will give to many of us to think and to make correct choices. With grace holding up your neck, you can, and you have discretion, you can embrace those correct choices. And wisdom, which he says, if any man lack it, let him ask liberally. We know that. But wisdom he gives only to those who follow after him. I also wrote down that wisdom encompasses discretion, but it goes beyond just that. Through having that gift of wisdom, you have to embrace instruction. You have to embrace training in certain areas. You have to embrace discipline, all of those different type things. And so to sum it up, I said he talks about, I'm reading what I wrote. All of the wisdom can be received from the Word of God because the Word is truth. We know that credit card companies will make it easy to get into debt, but it's not as easy to get out. And it has destroyed a lot of people, character, and it has just destroyed a lot of relationships. Because if you delay paying a debt, or you delay paying someone back that loaned you something, it's not quite, it's not wisdom. It's not good for your character. And so we should practice on trying to pay back a debt or pay back a loan just as eager as we were to get it. And that's wisdom and discretion.
All right. Okay. Thank you all. Y'all did an excellent job. Thank God for following instructions. Hallelujah. Yeah, Proverbs is a very interesting book. It has 31 chapters, and, you know, the first few chapters, Solomon is talking to his son and giving him wisdom. So I thank God for the wisdom that's being downloaded in us every time we read and study these chapters. So, all right, we're going to move right along. I want you to know the update on baby Chloe. Baby Chloe is a little soldier. Oh, my God. She had major surgery a couple of weeks ago. And when I talked to her mom, she told me, she, you know, she was in some pain and a little whiny. You know, I mean, she was a good child. I mean, I probably would have been screaming and hollering with you. So she's home now. She had to go back, get a checkup, but they sent her home. Thank God her mom is a nurse and her dad's studying to be a doctor. So they know what to do when at home. So she's blessed to have them. So we're going to continue to thank God for the progress that she's making in her healing. So we know that she has great, God has great, great plans for her life. So Sister Miriam, could you pray and thank God for the healing of baby Chloe, baby Zoe, and baby Revere? Just thank God for healing them.
Heavenly Father, I bring those babies before you right now, Lord God. You know them by name and by number right now, Lord God. I want to thank you for the healing process that they're going through right now, Lord God. All things are possible through you, dear God. Nothing is impossible. Well, I've seen miracles done right now, Lord God, in your name. Continue to strengthen these babies right now, Lord God, because I know they can grow up to be strong men and women of God right now, Lord God. Continue to strengthen their parents right now, Lord God. Let them be patient and understanding and not give up, but to have faith right now in you, Lord God, that you can heal their babies right now in the name of Jesus. You can do all but fail right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you right now for the healing process right now, Lord God. Continue the healing process right now, Lord God. Continue to heal them and your son. Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over them and their parents right now, Lord God. Continue healing in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you right now, and I praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So much. Okay, Sister Lanny, could you pray for senior citizens?
Yes, ma'am. God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are God who loves us at any age, from 7 to 17 to 71 and 107. You are the God of all of us. God, I know how you value wisdom because you are the greatest of all wisdom, and we come to you for it. So we come now, Father, asking for a special blessing upon seniors all over the world, and especially some of those in our immediate families and our churches that we have influence with, that we can look at and we can encourage. Father, we pray a blessing upon them and help us to be a blessing to them. As a matter of fact, God, show us and lead us and guide us. Give us wisdom and how to be a blessing to the seniors, not to just say that they are blessed, but to actually get out and do something that shows that we love and care for them, and they will know it. God, we pray for the strengthening of their minds. We pray for the healing in their bodies. We pray, Father, that you, well, we know you can regulate a mind and you can set a heart. A heart won't stay broken. Some seniors are in facilities and feel forgotten. God, we pray that you heal those broken hearts and touch the hearts of some of the family members or close friends to begin to invest in those who are in homes and need someone to just show their love and their care. God, we thank you for caregivers that are around them, doctors and nurses and other people in the facility. They will treat them with dignity, and they will know that they are yet loved, they are yet valued, and that you so care for them. God, we pray that you will refresh in their hearts right now, wherever they are, the mindset that you love them unconditionally, and as long as there is life, there is hope. As long as there is grace, your life in them continues, and we thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for grace and mercy toward them. Bless them now. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, as we close out, but not from your presence, oh God, I thank you for Sister Mary, Lord God, and her family, Father, everything that concerns her, Lord God. Keep her healthy and well, oh God. Fix those situations that seem impossible to be fixed, oh God. You're able, oh God. In the name of Jesus, heal her digestive system, Father. Any kind of stomach problems, heal, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for Vivian, your daughter, in the name of Jesus, who has much. You said to whom much is given, much is required. She has much to do, Lord God. So I thank you even for the next book that she will write. Oh, God, I thank you for a radio broadcast on Sunday nights, Lord God, and the many, many things that she do. In the name of Jesus, bless her family far and near, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, you know that the things that you have ordained for her to do, I thank you, Lord God, for her completing all of those things in due season, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for Esther, your daughter, in the name of Jesus. I thank you that she's healed by your stripes. I thank you for her grandbabies that she watched after and keep, oh God. May they continually grow by leaps and bounds. I thank you for the prayers that she pray out loud over them in the name of Jesus, even for her children, Lord God, all of our children, grandchildren, Lord God. Continually direct extra steps in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing for Esther, for her household. In the name of Jesus, even the desires of her heart coming forth. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for Sister Lanny, Minister of Music, oh God. I thank you, Lord God, for the new songs that she's going to write. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for the book that she has written. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, for filling her up with more. To whom much is given, much is required. Sometimes she seems stretched to the max, oh God. But you're with her. You won't leave her. You won't forsake her. You know everything that she needs to do, all the list of things that she has to do daily, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for Sister Delana, Lord. In the name of Jesus and all that you're doing on her behalf, I ask you to continually bless her and walk with her and talk with her. Everything that concerns her, oh God, I thank you for the mighty call upon her life, the call, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, for her following Joshua 1:8. Let not this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it morning and night. Obey everything written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. I thank you for Jasmine, your daughter, the young one that you gave us, Lord, who just turned 21. I thank you for the wisdom that you have put in Jasmine, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you will protect her, guide her, give her wisdom, knowledge, understanding of your word and your ways. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for her looking to the hills from which cometh her help. Her help cometh from you, O God. I thank you for her brother, Brother Brian, this mighty man of God, you said, to whom much is given, much is required. And, Lord, he does so much for the kingdom of God. I thank you for the messages you download in him to come on and say to the people of God on this podcast, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that he speaks the truth. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for the wisdom as a young man that you have given him, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for the life that you've given him, Joshua 1:8, that the book of the law would not depart from his mouth, that he will continue to meditate upon it morning, noon, and night. He will obey everything written in it. Then he will make his way prosperous, and he will have good success. And I thank you for Gloria Dean, who was not able to come on today. Heal her body inside out, oh God. I thank you. We speak life. We cancel the spirit of death. We will not speak death over ourselves, but we will speak life over ourselves in the name of Jesus. Even Sister Mary, who was not able to come on today, Lord God, I lift up the elderly, Sister Gloria Dean, Sister Mary, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. I thank you for blessing them in safety, peace, and direction. Heal their eyesight, Lord God. Heal their hearing, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that they are healthy and well. They walk in divine health, as all of us do. So, Father, we appreciate you. We bless you. We give you glory, honor, and thanksgiving for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. We bless your holy name. You are mighty. You are holy. You are righteous. You are the King of Kings. And we are delighting in you that you chose us to be your very elect children, O God. Without you, we have no direction, no guidance. We have no peace of mind. But we are grateful that you, the Most High God, is the Prince of Peace. You are a mighty God, Jehovah Shalom. We thank you for that peace that you're giving us, O God. Oh, yeah. We thank you, Lord God. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. You are our strength and our Redeemer. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. I love each of you. Have a God-filled day, a God-filled week, a God-filled month. Don't forget, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Give him hot praises from your mouth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Love
you. Thank
you, everybody. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you, Jesus.
Right,
thank you. Thank you.
All righty. Have a good day, good week. Bye-bye. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.